This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, I'm David Gale and welcome to The Informer. Tonight I'm joined by Paul McClure. On tonight's Informer, we will hear from the Victorian Health Minister, Jill Hennessy, at the official launch of the PrEP-X study, which has commenced in Victoria. We will talk with Simon Ruth from the Victorian AIDS Council about the study, and we are joined in the studio by Jeff Montgomery, a participant in the trial. Later, we will chat with Sammy Gledhill from the Movember Foundation to find out a couple of lesser-known Movember activities. It's not just all about growing a moustache in November. Yesterday, the Victorian Health Minister, the Honourable Jill Hennessy, officially launched PrEP-X, a new study where 2,600 people will receive PrEP through a partnership between the Andrews Labor Government in Victoria, Alfred Health, Victorian AIDS Council and research partners the Burnet Institute and University of New South Wales. Here's what she had to say.
Indeed, I'm really delighted that today we're launching a PrEP-X trial. We've had over 1,300 people enrol in this trial, and PrEP has been shown overseas to be really significant in reducing HIV transmissions. So we're really hopeful that we're going to be able to do our bit. It's important we continue to drive access to PrEP-X, but if we are going to eliminate HIV by 2020, we've got to support trials like PrEP-X, and that's exactly what the Victorian Government doing.
Tonight on The Informer, we are joined firstly by Simon Ruth, CEO of the VAC. Welcome, Simon.
G'day, David. Thanks for having me.
Look, it's great to have you on The Informer. You're no stranger to Joy, and it was actually great for me to meet you yesterday. I haven't met you before at the launch of PrEP-X. Can you begin first by telling us what the VAC's involvement is in this trial?
Well, the VAC has been talking about PrEP now for the last 3 years and creating conversations and campaigning with government. And we were a partner in the earlier Vic PrEP trial, which saw 100 guys going on to PrEP across the state. In this trial, we worked with the Alfred to get the government to commit, and the government committed $1.4 million to the trial. And VAC and the Alfred have also made financial contributions to get the trial off the ground. So VAC put in $100,000 of our own money to get the trial off the ground. In addition to that, we're also involved in the marketing of the trial, and we're also two of the currently seven trial sites. So you can access the trial at Pronto, the Rapid Testing Centre, and also at the Centre Clinic.
Yeah, look, it was quite amazing to hear about the partnership too, because the Minister was talking about how, it is a partnership between, you know, people like Alfred Health, obviously the Burnet Institute, the government itself, yourself, and also the delivery of a trial like this doesn't just sort of happen by, you know, like, oh, you know, a few people come in and whatever, because this is such a large trial. I mean, it's really quite a groundbreaking sort of thing to come up about.
Yeah, so 2,600 people will go on to this trial, and the trial wouldn't have got off the ground if we didn't know that there was significant community support. So part of the campaigning for the trial was demonstrating that we have Facebook pages with PrEP Access Now and PrEP for Change and Time for PrEP, the three activist groups, who have hundreds and hundreds of members on those Facebook pages, people who want to access PrEP in Victoria. PrEP Access Now had established their importation scheme, so we could also demonstrate that hundreds of people are prepared to import drugs internationally into Australia to go on to PrEP. So, it's been important that we have that level of community support behind this, and that we have 3 years of campaigning and talking about how we could end HIV in Victoria and across Australia through making PrEP available.
Yeah, because that's the goal, isn't it?
So there is a national goal of ending all avoidable transmissions of HIV by 2020, and we can't do that without PrEP being made available right across the country, not just in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane.
Yeah. Look, we've come quite a long way since the inception of the VAC in the 1980s, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we started at the Laird, at a public meeting at the Laird in 1983, prior to the first ever AIDS patient being diagnosed in Australia, and we were aware that AIDS was on the horizon in the US. We were reading media press coverage about it, and a group of activists got together and said we need to start forming and organising, and we had the Victorian AIDS Action Committee, which was our original organisation, and we've come a very long way since then. Those early days were about helping people to die and about encouraging condom use and looking for ways. And, you know, there were times when we were illegally importing drugs into the country and dispensing drugs illegally with doctors, challenging the government to improve its processes. So all the AIDS councils were involved in the early reformations of the Therapeutic Goods Administration and PBAC and challenging them to speed up their processes.
It was also under the backdrop of, certainly in the United States, it was the Reagan era, and, you know, I remember it quite well, and of course there was total inaction in the United States, denial perhaps, whereas, you know, the VAC was certainly a leader. And, you know, I mean, since that time, we've gone from where the whole organisation started to a very sophisticated approach to something like PrepX. How's that come? Is that just a natural progression, or is it just being more involved with the community and also other partners like the health professionals?
You're right. We have become, you know, we started off as an activist co-op, and today we're probably a health service, and we've shifted greatly, and we now work hand in hand with government. I think VAC is still very true to its activist roots, though. Mm-hmm. We have been active in political discussions and in campaigning around the plebiscite and marriage equality and different parts in the community. We still have a very large membership. We have very active annual general meetings every year with over 100 people attending. So I think we're still true to our roots, but yes, we are now a professional health service providing a whole range of different health services, not only around HIV. We also have a transgender health service. We run a lesbian health conference each year. We have counselling and drug and alcohol programs, so we are broadening out in those areas.
Look, it's great having you joining us on The Informer tonight, Simon. Thanks again for your participation.
Cheers. Thanks, David.
Talk to you soon. Meanwhile, joining us in the studio tonight, we have Jeff Montgomery, one of the participants in the PrepX trial. Welcome, Jeff.
Hi, nice to be here.
Look, it's great to have you here in the studio. How did you initially become involved in this study?
Well, I had heard that it was coming for quite a while now, and I've been part of Prep Access now, so we've had information coming at us about when it was due to roll out, and I was looking forward to that. I had been importing PrEP myself before that, so I was very keen to get onto the trial as well.
So you would be one of the many men that were importing drugs, well, basically PrEP. I mean, I'm not talking about illicit drugs by any means, but yep. You were one of the many people that have been doing that.
Yes, in Australia, we're allowed to import 3 months' worth of the drug for our own personal use, and I was taking advantage of that. As soon as I heard about PrEP, I was very interested in getting on board and starting to take it.
Yeah, look, it was great to meet you at the launch yesterday of the study. What does your participation, what does the participation mean to you?
In the study?
Yeah.
This study, so there have been studies already done about the drug efficacy, and that's been well proven, and we have a good track record with that. So now they're really looking at the real world usage of the drug. Mm-hmm. They want to know the difficulties that people have in adhering to it and make sure that those are addressed, as well as finding out why people may choose not to continue taking PrEP, and also the reasons that people come to the study and want to come get onto the drug as well. So they're trying to make it as real a situation as possible and collect figures about that sort of information.
And that's why there's so many partners, because it goes really from the organisers of this trial, you know, people like the Burnet Institute that are studying the results, but it goes all the way down to the pharmacy where you actually collect your PrEP.
Yes. And from what I understand, some of this information will help support the next round of applying to get onto the PBAC mm-hmm. as well.
So do you feel like a guinea pig?
not really. It, as I said, it was fairly much real world. When you sign up, there's a bit of extra questions you have to answer that you work through with the doctor that you're seeing. But after that, it's pretty much the same as when I was importing, which is every 3 months you go and you get tested for HIV, all the STIs, and liver and kidney performances. I believe there's some of that into the the tests as well?
So they'd be adding the liver and kidney just to basically monitor that, you know, it's not having an adverse effect on the study group people.
Yes, yeah. So side effects wise, there's only a very small amount of the people that take PrEP that do experience slight side effects. I haven't had any problems with it whatsoever, and the majority of the people that I know have had no problems whatsoever as well. So that's part of what the testing is for, though, is to make sure everything's working fine.
And they managed to get 1,300 people in such a short period of time. How did that work? Was that just because there's that much interest? Everybody wants to be on PrEP?
I think there is. As I said, I work with PrEP Access now, and we uh-huh. run a Facebook page. So we're constantly on there educating people. You know, there's a lot of word of mouth out there that is maybe, you know, 80% correct, and we're adjusting them. And some people have lots and lots of questions and concerns about it. So it seems to be on the tip of everyone's tongue, so to speak. There are a lot of people out there that want to hear about it, that I meet when I go out and
sure.
want to find out more about it as well.
We'll put the website for PrEP Access Now linked to our podcast after the show.
Yep.
Look, it's quite an amazing trial. So basically, they've normalized it as much as possible to make it seem like you're just going as if you're normally getting your normal STI checks and also getting the prescription for PrEP. So
yes, yeah. So when you take PrEP here in Australia, they want you to come back every 3 months and ensure that you're tested. And that's basically what they're recreating as well.
Yeah, look, it sounds fantastic. You've got other friends in the trial as well. Are they still yeah. taking participants?
Yes, they're definitely taking participants. I believe they're about at the halfway mark, and they're rolling out to rural Australia as well. So anyone in rural Australia is welcome to commute in at the moment, but that's mm-hmm. happening very soon from what I understand. So there'll be some of the major country towns will have access directly to the study.
So if I wanted to become part of the trial, I mean, you know, I visit Pronto every 3 to 6 months or something like that, or if I go and see my normal GP, I could actually talk to, obviously not every GP would be involved.
Right. The Alfred has a PrepX page that has a list of all of the doctors that are participating in the trial, and that's probably the best place to go because they'll have the latest information as well. I know Simon mentioned some of the major clinics here in the Melbourne area that are participating as well.
So if you went to the Pran Market Clinic, the STI Centre, Pronto obviously,
yep.
Alfred Hospital, so maybe if you just do a search on
Melbourne Sexual Health as well.
Would I find out that information on the VAC website?
I can't say for sure, but I know that okay. the VAC website would definitely have a link to the PrEP study. So you can get there through a link from them, I'm sure, and from PrEP Access Now. And then if you pretty much Google PrEP X and the Alfred, you're going to have them pop up as the
yeah,
first
sure.
thing.
Yeah. And the PrEP Access Now group, which you're a member of, how did that come about?
Well, from what I understand, that was founded by Phil Jaffe, who's our chairman. And the idea there was, at the time, it was extremely difficult and without any information on how to actually gain access to PrEP within Australia. And the guiding principle there was, for those who wanted to take PrEP, mm-hmm. they wanted to enable that as in any way possible through education, through a central location where you could find out about all the studies that were going on at the time. We do educational series in pubs as well across Australia, as well as we do offer assistance coupons to those who are in financial need
sure.
Through one of the pharmacies that we work with in Swaziland, Africa.
Wow.
As well. So
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'll be checking out that website later on as well. And as I say, we will have a link to that with our podcast. Look, thanks so much for joining us in studio tonight. And it's great to have you here.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Next up, Movember seeks to make a global contribution to men's living happier, healthier, longer lives. The ambition underpins everything that they do. It's a driving force behind their campaign's funding strategy and vision for the future. We're all aware by now about the campaigns to grow moustaches in November and end up looking like porn stars and to raise funds in November. But the Movember Foundation has other activities that they encourage Mo Bros and Mo Sisters to be part of. Tonight on The Informer, we are joined by spokesman Sammy Gledhill. Welcome, Sammy.
G'day, how are you? Great to have you on the program.
Thank you. It's great to have you on the program. I was checking out your style of moustache earlier on. It says here that you have a wishing for a trucker likely to achieve an undercover brother style of moustache.
Yeah, I've been with the organisation several years now, and every year I come bitterly disappointed at the end of November when I look in the mirror and see what I've been able to achieve. But I know for a good cause, so that kind of rallies me around my pathetic top lip at the end of the month.
Yeah, look, you know, I struggle with it as well. I'm letting mine go free and easy. Do you shave yours off before November?
Oh, absolutely. First of November is shave down day, so we go into the month cleanly shaven and you know, with an upper lip glistening in the sun. And then we cultivate and groom over the course of the 30 days of November and really do what we can to be a walking, talking billboard for men's health.
Now, look, a lot of people aren't really aware that Movember Foundation does have other activities. And the first thing I'd like to talk to you with tonight about is the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. How did that come about?
So the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride is a great story, and it's a really exciting partnership for the Movember Foundation this year. We are very fortunate to be the official charity partner of the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. It was launched in Sydney, of all places. It's now a global phenomenon, but it was started in Sydney in 2012 by a guy called Mark Hawa, who saw a photo. I don't know if you're aware of the sort of classic photo of Mad Men's Don Draper sitting in his very, very elegant suit on a classic motorbike. And Mark at that time thought, what a great idea to get men who are, you know, characterised and stereotyped as these tough bikies and give them a bit of grace and give a bit of style. And let's see if we can get people together and, you know, dress them up in great savvy suits and then ride these fantastic old-style classic motorcycles around. And on the 25th of September is the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. It's a global phenomenon this year. We're hoping to have 50,000 riders across 500 cities and 90 countries take part in the event. So it's going to be a fantastic day for motorcycle enthusiasts around the world.
I've actually been on the website checking out some of those photos. Now, I am a motorbike rider, but I don't wear a tweed jacket. I have got the moustache. So do I have to have a classic motorbike and do I have to have a tweed jacket?
Yeah, now there are some style guides and there are some style rules for the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride because it is an event, it's a formal event. All of the details you can find either through Movember's website at movember.com and go to the event section. They'll give you all the details you need to know, or you can head to Gentleman's Ride, www.gentlemansride.com, and they'll outline all the rules and all the bits of information you need to participate.
Whereabouts is the ride for those of us living in Melbourne? Or is that a secret?
Well, no, there are rides all over the in many, many cities throughout Australia and throughout the world. And so the website, when you go there, allows you to register in your local area and it'll tell you all the details for where you go in your local spot and where you can meet up with the gents to start the ride. So it's a sort of simultaneous event around the world.
Looks like I'm going to have to get my tweed jacket out. There's a lot of money being raised, and I noticed on the webpage, and we will have a link once again to the Movember website and the Gentleman's Ride. There's a lot of money being raised, so people can either ride and get sponsors, or can people just sponsor friends or just, you know, good-looking chaps on motorbikes with tweed jackets? Can they just sponsor like in Movember?
That's exactly right. You can head to the website and you can then at the website decide to either register yourself as a rider or donate to support the cause. And the links are all there on the webpage if you need them. They're setting themselves an ambitious target of raising $5 million this year, but they're already, I checked out the website this afternoon, already with more than three weeks to go till the ride, they're already up to well over $800,000. So they're doing a really fantastic job of getting behind the men of the world and really doing their best to support men's health.
Yeah, I noticed that there's some amazing funds being raised. Look, on another side, though, of Movember Health, the health partners with Movember include the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and Beyond Blue. And that brings us to another important thing to discuss. World Suicide Prevention Day is on the 10th of September. How is Movember involved in that?
Yeah, so World Suicide Prevention Day is an important day on the Movember calendar. Like you say, it's the 10th of September this year, the 10th of September every year. It's Saturday, the 10th of September this year. And we're encouraging all men on that day to sort of take stock and really think about what it means to talk to mates and what it means to have mates around you that you can talk to. You know, suicide is a very, very serious issue, and whilst we're a very fun campaign, we do take suicide very, very seriously. It's globally, the rate of suicide is alarmingly high, and particularly in men. You know, around the world, one man a day dies by suicide, one man a minute dies by suicide around the world, and in Australia that equates to five men every day who take their lives by suicide. So it's a really big issue, particularly in men in their middle years, and as the community, your Joy FM community would know, that the LGBTQI community is particularly affected and overrepresented in those statistics. So it's something we really need to talk about, and so we're using the World Suicide Prevention Day as an opportunity to get men to check in, take stock and identify that at the big events in life, things that really sort of, you know, a life-changing event, reach out and talk to the people around you. It's something that you should be proud of talking to your mates, not ashamed of. And it doesn't mean that you are showing any signs of weakness. You should be proud of the fact that you're taking it upon yourself to say that I'm not okay and I need some support. And we're really encouraging men to talk about the big things in life and how they're impacted by them.
Yeah, look, personally, on a personal level, Paul and myself, Paul's in the studio at the moment, we've actually talked about the fact that men actually have to ask for help, because, and often they won't. But at the same time, there's the other side of that is that, you know, keeping an eye on your mates and making sure that they actually, you know, are okay, that's, you know, the awareness is brought about by something like this this day on the 10th of September.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And some of the work that our good partners at Beyond Blue have done over the course of many years has exactly identified that a lot of men will say, if my mates asked me for help, I'd be there in a heartbeat. I would drop everything to help them out. But the problem is that there's a significant proportion of men who don't feel that they've got the mates that will do that. So there's a disconnect between, you know, having the support that you have and realizing that support is there. And so really, we're encouraging men to be brave and stand up and say, I'm not okay and I need some help, or reach out and, you know, talk to a mate or check in with your mates is the other side of the equation too. If, you know, you notice someone who's been a little bit down, a little bit flat, just check in and ask them. You know, it's as simple as asking a question. Hey, are you doing okay? Do you need any help? Or, you know, how are you? What's going on? And sometimes that permission to start the conversation is all that it takes to really, you know, break the ice and get a real honest conversation happening.
So with Movember, the funds that are raised each year, some of it goes towards prostate cancer research, which we'll come back to in a moment, but also the funds that are directed towards suicide prevention, where do they actually go to?
So we have partners and we have a whole programmatic strategy around exactly how we're going to tackle suicide prevention or how we're going to tackle the issues that underpin suicide prevention. So we have a number of programs that we are investing in currently and that we look to invest in the future that really tackle the real key drivers around connecting men, getting men socially connected and getting at-risk communities proper representation and proper access to things that they need to do to take care of their mental health. And so we partner with Beyond Blue, as we have done for many, many mm-hmm. years, and there are some elements of our program that we undertake directly ourselves, and that happens in prostate cancer as well. There are some things that we fund ourselves, and there are other things that where the skill sets and where the opportunity is better suited to be done through a partner, we will partner with others to do that. So it all depends on how what the particular program is in terms of executing our strategy.
Look, also, before we did talk about Movember and growing moustaches sort of in a flippant way, but at the same time, it's serious business as far as raising funds. Is it time yet to actually start getting on to thinking about raising money for this year's Movember campaign?
Yeah, well, now there's never a bad time to think about how you might want to raise money for Movember. We're active all the year round, and we've got a whole bunch of things that happen. So Suicide Prevention Day is obviously a key focus of the campaign. The Distinguished Gentleman's Ride is another focus. Throughout the course of the year, we have events that happen around testicular cancer awareness in April. And we also have World Cancer Day in February, where we have events that allow you to participate in particular elements of the campaign. But now is a good time to start planning around what you might want to do. If you're thinking of maybe hosting an event, the website is set up now so that you're able to think about how you might be able to support the campaign by hosting an event, whether it's a trivia night or whether it's a move event where you might do some kind of sporting challenge or amongst your mates. There's tips and tricks and all those sorts of things on the website that will help you get there. So certainly head to Movember.com and you'll find all the sort of stuff that you need to help you get involved in the campaign this year.
Yeah, look, a couple of years ago, the guys that work for me at the shop that I run, we basically started growing moustaches and we put up a jar and any leftover change. And, you know, we were surprised how generous people are, but it's not a hard thing to do and people will always donate every year, which is great.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and we're very grateful for the support. There are, you know, communities of Mobros and Mo Sisters who come out every year and host great events and do a really wonderful job of not just raising funds but also spreading our message around men's health and getting encouraging men to check in on their health, whether that be their physical health through a prostate exam or through getting to their doctor for their annual checkup, or whether it be checking in on your mental health and checking in on the mental health of your mates. You know, the community is a really strong community, and it's one that we're particularly proud of at Movember.
Okay, it's been great having you on tonight's edition of The Informer. We will look forward to chatting to you again maybe closer to Movember or one of the other guys that's at the Movember Foundation. Remember that there'll be links to our to Movember on our podcast shortly after tonight's show.
Thanks, David.
Thank you. Look, tonight it's been great to have Simon Ruth, VAC CEO. That's a mouthful. Jeff Montgomery, PrepEx study participant, and Sammy Gledhill from the Movember Foundation as guests on The Informer. Be sure to be listening to The Informer, Joy 94.9's news and current affairs program, tomorrow night at 6:30. Coming up next is Worldwide Wave, where they'll be travelling to Jordan. I'm David Gale, and Paul McClure is here with me. Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.